Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. Oftentimes, coworkers will solicit others for money for Girl Scout cookies or a fundraiser, but what do you do when a female coworker asks you if you'd be interested in purchasing a peek at... Yeah, it happened, and we're going to talk about it today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll-free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
And it is. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com to share your office horror stories with us. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to this program on. You won't miss any episode. We release them every single week. Thank you so much. If you already have pressed subscribe, it helps us grow in those rankings. Let other folks know that this thing exists. Share it on social media, too. All of that helps us as we get this show off the ground. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again today.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Got the flu shot earlier today.
Fun stuff.
No, I got scurvy. So that's the shit that happens. Now, you cannot get the flu from the flu shot. That is, and people are like, yes, you can. No, you can't.
No.
Impossibility. That does not happen. You can if you already have the virus and it's just starting to work its way through you and you get the flu shot. That ain't going to stop it. Mm-hmm. I was told I have 2 weeks before it's fully kicked in. So I could still get it.
Okay.
The next 2 weeks. But I kind of get that achy feeling and all that. So there you go.
You're just kind of a wimp that way. You get a shot.
Thank you for that.
That's, and it's like a big deal. And then Harp got one last week. And
she was running a marathon later
in the day. I never heard anything else about it other than her Band-Aid fell off. She was more upset about her Band-Aid falling off than anything.
I wasn't going to go on the Band-Aid thing, but it did fall off too. I'm kind of upset about that a little bit. It was a Muppet Babies Band-Aid. And I had a Kermit one. I was happy about it. I was like, yes, Kermit. Because I almost got Fozzie. I said, no, I don't want Fozzie. I want Kermit. And,
okay.
So they have an office horror story right there.
Yeah.
Cried a little bit when I got the shot right there in the Walmart.
You would ask for a Muppet Band-Aid if you had the option.
If I could choose? Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. Why not?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you get a Muppet Band-Aid?
What if you knew it was the last Muppet Band-Aid they had that day? And some little kid's going to have to go home with a regular beige Band-Aid because you are sporting Kermit on your arm. Would you feel bad about that at all?
Do you want me to give the response of like what a normal person would give or what I feel?
That's response enough.
I would let it, if there was another kid right there waiting and there was like a kid, I would let the kid have the Kermit Band-Aid.
No, you wouldn't.
And then when he wasn't looking, I'd just take it off as I put it on mine and be like, oh, sorry about that. Yeah. That's pretty gross. Nobody ever shared Band-Aids as children. That's,
you shouldn't share Band-Aids.
Kids shared gum. Kids shared suckers. I never saw somebody sharing Band-Aids.
No.
That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Of all the weird shit that kids do.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw that one happen. Although I'm sure it probably does somewhere. 833-HATE-JOB is our number here at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says here are some typical occurrences in the 80s and 90s at our extremely diverse office of about 50 employees of all genders, ages, religions, ethnicities, and quirks. I had a female employee who insisted the man she was training was doodling nude pictures of her. I walked up behind him to verify that, yes, indeed, he was doodling nude photos of her in the margins of his notepad. When confronted, he demanded freedom of expression as an artist. And to be honest, he was pretty good. So I suggested he follow that career path as we let him go. Another office mate asked a female coworker to put her hands in his briefcase and see what she could find. For some strange reason, she did this and pulled out his dirty underwear. When confronted, he said he intended for her to pull out a roast beef sandwich he was going to offer her for lunch and forgot his dirty underwear was in there also. When I asked him to produce the sandwich, he said he had eaten it because what's more appetizing than a sandwich stored next to dirty underwear? One male employee asked me if I realized that a female employee was charging $1 to show anyone interested that she had shaved her private parts into a heart. Apparently, she would sit in the lunchroom in the corner wearing a miniskirt, and the interested party would sit across from her, pay $1, and peek. Another male employee wore a shirt that said something to the effect of, guess what's in my pants? And he had no idea why this might be inappropriate when I asked if he could at least turn it inside out if he's going home and to change was not an option. He then asked me if I wanted to take a guess about what was in his pants. I also had an employee during the anthrax scare who came to my office with what clearly was a blueberry muffin crumb that was trapped inside a newspaper page, saying he feared it was anthrax, and he just read a story that anthrax had been sent to Tom Brokaw, and it looked like brown sugar clumps, not white powder. To prove it wasn't anthrax, I immediately grabbed the newspaper and inhaled the said anthrax crumb, which freaked him out. He called HR because he feared I would die soon if it were indeed anthrax. HR was enforced to call 911, at which point the employee and I were quarantined in the HR meeting room while fire and police in hazmat suits asked me repeatedly why I thought it was a good idea to inhale it after my employee suspected it was anthrax. Ah, the good old days.
That's great. Of all the stories, I love the anthrax one.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
Remember that shit?
Yeah.
That was a big thing, kids, and I'm sure it will probably happen again at some point where it was after 9/11.
Yeah.
The country was complete. I feel like I'm like an old man in the corner telling these stories. The country was completely on edge back in, it was 2002, 2003.
I think it was early 02.
Yeah. And there was anthrax that actually went through the mail. It wasn't supposedly, it was anthrax that went through the mail. Did they ever figure out who the hell did that or who was?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't remember. But some was sent to Tom Brokaw. Someone, I don't know if it was a Tom Brokaw office or it was somebody's office where I believe it was a mailroom employee that died. Mm-hmm. Someone actually did come in contact with the real deal. And that's what scared the shit out of everybody, because at the time, a lot of it was bullshit. A lot of it was baking soda. And people were just being assholes. And just really, it was causing havoc everywhere. So I was working in media at a radio station, and the big scare was in that industry because that's where the shit was being sent to.
Yeah.
Was media outlets. So I'm curious what it was in other places. We had up until I think they were like replacing the suits until I left. It was like 20. When did I leave radio? 15, 14?
I think 15.
Yeah. There was still a suit in the above the mailboxes, a whole anthrax kit. Mm-hmm. And I remember like they replaced it a couple times because I think like some of the stuff, you know, I don't know, whatever was in the anthrax kit expires. And it was there. I don't know what the fuck you'd do if you suddenly, well, hang on. I think I might have inhaled some anthrax. Let me put this suit on now. Or why? I don't know. There's so many things at that point in time that didn't make a lot of logistical sense. There was a lot of hysteria.
Yeah.
About a lot of things. And, you know, for some good reason, but a little common sense could have gone a long way. So we had a kit in our mailroom. I didn't work ever in anything other than media. Did your workplace at that time, did you get an anthrax kit? Did other places have this, or was it just media outlets?
No, I mean, we didn't have one where I worked. You know, and I mean, we got a ton of mail because I worked for an accounting firm. So yeah. We were always, you know, getting a ton of, you know, federal mail, but we never really thought about it.
No.
I don't know if that was just because, you know, I was young and naive or what, or my office manager was not thinking about the impact of, you know, this goes through all these different facilities where it could come in contact with something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know if it was like an every workplace thing or mm-hmm. larger workplace thing or what it was. But I do remember those, the good old days, as they put it, back in the let's be afraid we have anthrax in our mail days.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I mean, prior to 9/11, the scare was Unabomber.
Yeah.
Then they got him, Ted Kaczynski. That was it's good times. It's a real fucked up span of 10 years.
It was.
Just like, hey, here's a new thing to be scared of this week. And yeah, that's how it was. Back in my day, 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror stories with us. I never had one where the one employee was offering to sneak a peek for a buck or anything like that.
No.
I did have one where I had a boss that was hiring a female employee, and he was a real shady dude. He ended up later, I got him fired for sexually harassing people. That was a whole fun debacle, but and this actually ended up being part of the I don't know, deposition. It was never got legal or litigious, but in the HR, you know, where I had to go in and say, here's my laundry list of shit.
Yeah,
this was part of it. Remember the process when he was hiring a female employee, and the thing with this one is she really went along with a lot of it. So this specific one, I don't have a whole lot of pity mm-hmm. for her, because I think she was trying to manipulate him knowing he was a creepy motherfucker.
Okay.
So he would show me these emails. He's emailing back and forth like, hey, interested in this job, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm just in the bubble bath. I'm having a bubble bath right now thinking of you.
Oh, God.
Literally.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So it's like, okay, you can't really claim harassment there when you're like saying shit. And she never claimed harassment. She was, of all the people he harassed, she, I think, was like disappointed when he left. Because
she was egging him on.
She was egging him on. I think she was kind of into it with, mm-hmm. with him. But all the other people not wanted, not advanced, you know, did not want the advances and just wanted nothing to do with the guy. But I remember that. So, I mean, that's the closest I can get to like somebody offering sneak a peek, because so then some of the emails, I don't remember the details. It was almost 20 years ago, but it was very much insinuating. Like if you hire me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that shit's, you know, on.
So I have, I guess, a relevant story here.
Okay.
Had a boss, and he actually complained because this employee that he hired, she was well endowed.
Okay.
And she was hired before I was. And apparently when she was hired, she wore kind of a low cut shirt that was fairly revealing. And of course she got the job
mm-hmm.
knowing this boss. He later complained about the fact that she never wore it again. She never wore anything else like that again.
Like to her or just to like other office mates?
Other people in the office. I overheard it. He's like, yeah, she wore that and now she won't wear that anymore.
It's like, of course she won't, you dumb fuck.
You know this person.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
No.
By that. Yeah. It's interesting because in the world now that we live in and for the better, it is kind of shocking to think back of what a lot of workplaces were like not that long ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago, yeah. What was accepted. And then we would look back further to like the Mad Men days and mm-hmm. go, oh my God, I can't believe workplaces were like that. Really completely overlooking what was still going on in yeah. a lot of them. And still does go on, I'm sure, in many workplaces to an extent. But I would think, you know, it must be more tampered down now at how litigious shit gets so quick and how people are being held more accountable. I mean, it was like pulling fucking teeth.
Yeah.
10, 15 years ago to get HR to investigate somebody that was sexually harassing somebody. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the quick, I'm going to send a letter and we're going to look into it. It's like, no, okay, well, he's on our radar. If we get 30 more complaints in the next 15 days, it was like, there was like weird benchmarks that you had to hit for them to like take it to the next level.
I get that they're just trying to make sure this isn't somebody who's just mad and trying to get somebody else in trouble.
And it should be.
But that's a lot of complaints to expect to come forward, especially with something like that. A lot of people don't complain.
You're exactly right. And there should be certain, not 30 complaints in the day, but nothing should just be taken 100% at, there should be some investigation.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be, because you said this, it must be true, because there was a ton of people that would just make shit up. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be some level. It's just like, I feel like it swung like from one way if we don't do anything at all. And then sometimes it swings the other way where it's like no investigation.
Yeah.
It's like investigate. Just like, can we find the happy middle here of like responsible investigating things? And I don't know. I don't work anywhere other than here. So I don't have a compass as to where it's at. Has it swung more to the middle of reality, or are we swinging back the other direction? I don't know where it's at in offices today.
I don't know, but having the work experiences I've had, mm-hmm. I will, when my kids are teens and they're ready to start working, I will be pretty strict about where I will allow them to work.
Sure.
Because I'm not going to let them get in a situation like I got into, mm-hmm. where there was nobody to complain to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that should exist. I mean, that's the worst case, mm-hmm. where you have like, oh, the boss owner is the one doing the shit.
He's the biggest perv there is.
And then you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no HR. Yeah. And the thing, and in those cases, it is kind of like, well, either quit your job or get involved in a lawsuit. And who the fuck wants to do that?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm sure it is alive and well in many places, but it's just, if that sort of shit could just be erased and people would have some common sense not to get involved in that shit and be doing the harassing, we would have no problems. But unfortunately, people aren't that way.
No.
So 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories on, Office Horror Stories. So used to the other one. So not Real Ghost Stories. It's the other podcast, by the way. Next one says, congrats on the new podcast. I wrote into you a few years ago about a heart-shaped soapstone that my grandmother returned to me after she died. Anyway, about 6 years ago, I did some freelance work for a boutique design firm in the West Town area of Chicago. I had been a graphic designer for a while, but it was my first agency. So when I was offered the job, I was happy to accept. Immediately, I noticed very strange behavior from the owner. Excessive smoking in the office, lots of foul language over the phone, very unclean working conditions, and a huge hole in the ceiling of the kitchen break room. I just thought, well, if there is work, whatever. I soon came to see that this was not the case. In fact, she had almost no business. It appears she hired me to just have someone to chat with on the daily. Then one day I was in the office alone. You know, I love all things creepy, so I didn't mind it at all. What I did mind, though, was the bat that came flying down from the hole in the ceiling in the kitchen. I'm an animal lover, so I was trying to catch it and put it somewhere safe until I remembered that bats carry all kinds of diseases and I should probably steer clear of it. So I called the owner, who told me to keep working and just ignore it. Also that she wasn't coming because it's no problem. After that, I called 311, the city of Chicago's non-emergency line, to get animal control. Apparently she was fine, and when I did get a project worth putting in my portfolio, I wasn't paid for it because she complained that she had to pay fees to animal control. Those were my last dealings with the owner. About a week later, I messaged the person who had my position previously. I was told sorry, but I thought you could tell she was a complete crazy person. I didn't want to say much. I just had to get out of there. If you read this on the show, you don't have to say the name of the place, but I've left this. They left a review. Okay. They sent a link to the review. Well, obviously, we're not going to say the name of the place. I didn't say the name of the place.
No, you didn't.
Good.
You didn't.
Yeah.
No.
So there you go. Animal control being called at work. Have you ever had that happen?
No. And I think that's definitely on the boss or the owner or whomever to pay for that. That should not be an employee expense.
Yeah.
Good grief.
I think sometimes in workplaces, the employees just know the boss isn't going to take care of shit properly. So then they take it upon themselves to, well, they're not going to call animal control. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, for example, a good recent one I have is when we were at the movie theater.
Yeah.
And the guy came in that was acting all suspicious and weird. And I told the theater, you probably should call the police. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, what the fuck's going on? Just that's your precaution. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then that's where like someone should step in and go, I'm going to do it. I don't fucking care. Mm-hmm. I had animal. We don't think we had animal. We did not do animal control, although it probably should have been done because we had a raccoon running around the ceiling. I think I've had that at a couple stations now.
Oh, my gosh.
Radio stations are notoriously where they can cut corners will be cut. Mm-hmm. And if that involves having a pet raccoon live in your ceiling tiles for a week or so, well, it'll get out at some point. It has to eat, right? I've had snakes.
It's going to come in and have babies.
Exactly. I've had raccoons, snakes, ugh, frogs.
I remember the frog plague. You tell me about that.
Yeah. I think that's mainly it that I've experienced in the workplace. But I remember there was a raccoon and the ceiling tiles, it was between the subfloor of the attic and the ceiling tiles. So the thing was like running on the ceiling tiles and kind of stuck in that area. And the ceiling tiles, you could see like bouncing and you were afraid that the thing was going to just break right through. Just like the office. But eventually... I think it just got out the hole that it came in or something. Mm. But no, I remember that same place, we had a plague of frogs and we also had snakes that would get into the basement when it was rainy.
Ew.
It was like Jack Hanna's haven.
Yeah.
It was great. 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror stories with us, or you can write it in at officehorrorstories.com. Next one says, I was fired the week before Christmas for being sick at work. I worked for a shopping mall. Over the last year, changes were made to our department by people who have nothing to do with our department, which resulted in the best and most experienced of my life coworkers leaving. So it's a holiday season. We're swamped with people buying gift cards. We're down to 3 people now, whereas the year before we were fully staffed with 9. And I'm told that I will have to work the last Saturday by myself. The last year of bullshit, coupled with the shitheads upstairs chasing my coworkers away at this busy time, came to a head. I began to feel dizzy, weak, nauseous, exhausted, lightheaded, and a headache quickly set in. I barely had enough energy to keep my eyes open. It just hit me like a truck. Our temporary supervisor noticed and offered to let me go for the afternoon. I then made an offer. I'll work Saturday on my own if I can also have tomorrow off to recover. She said it was a done deal, and off I went. I slept for that afternoon, the evening, and the next day, and found out that our department manager had been trying to contact me. I was told that because I left work, that constituted job abandonment. Therefore, I had quit on them. I still felt like shit, but now I was hurt and confused. Why would they fire me for being sick just before Christmas while they were understaffed? I probably could have fought it, but I remained bedridden for the next week. I couldn't have made it to a doctor. Additionally, I was so fed up with the ridiculous, batshit insane stuff that was coming down the pipe that I was also kind of relieved to be done with that place.
I think if somebody calls in sick, you have to take their word for it. Because like they said, you know, sometimes you're too sick to get out and go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think by law you have to, don't you?
I think so.
I suppose it's one thing if it's like being abused and it's a constant thing, you know, where you can go, okay, you know, maybe you're clearly too ill to work and we need staff. Mm-hmm. But I think at that point it goes into another category too, then doesn't it, like where it's not a firing. It's I don't know what that would be, like leave of some sort. And then if they can come back and work consistently, then they can come back. I don't know how that works legally, but, I suppose you can't just fire someone like that if they're ill. 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB. Have you ever been in that situation where you were afraid to call in sick because of what the repercussions could possibly be if you if you were ill?
I always have that you know, fear of confrontation of like, oh God, am I going to get talked to because I called in sick? But I don't know that I had an actual fear.
Yeah.
Per se. Just more, I guess, an underlying anxiety about how that was going to turn out.
And not being in that situation. Mm-hmm. Just the conversation.
Yeah.
Not the fear of losing the job, but just the situation that it would be, you'd be put into.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. I can relate to that. It's a weird one. With being on the air, because back then you didn't really have a backup. Mm-hmm. Or if you did and it was like one person and they better be around, and if not, you're going in. And then you're like, okay, many a days. I remember there was sometimes like you really couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this is fun. 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB is our number at Office Horror Stories. To share your office horror story with us, let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Well, my office horror story is I was working for a lady in an office that after being hired, I noticed that in the office there was always this underlying tension. I couldn't quite put my finger on it because everybody was so nice at first. Well, after being there for a while, I had posted on social media about work, and of course, I didn't have any specifics, but I learned that that was a mistake. We shouldn't do that, of course, but, you know, I was kind of a newbie. So I did that, and I get pulled into her office, and she is smiling. And I asked her if anything was wrong, and she said no, she just needed to see me. As soon as the door was closed, she pounces. I am sitting down in a chair, and she is standing over me, and she is yelling at me like I'm her child. That we don't do that, we will never do that again, and all of those things. So that was the first inkling into what was wrong. And a lot of it was, is you can't read her face. You don't know what's going on or what mood she's in because you can't read her face. You can't see what's going on. She doesn't wear it on there, and it's almost like psychotic, the switch that goes on. So I'm there for a while, avoiding her, of course. I am very like traumatized because instead of being talked to like, hey, we don't need to do that, that's our policy, I was yelled at like I was a 2-year-old. So about a year goes by and I am doing my job, which I have to get records to other places, and it's secure places. I had accidentally transposed some numbers of the persons requesting the records, and I had sent them to another secure location. Well, the secure location called and said that I had sent the wrong records of the wrong person. Well, I handled a lot of those records, and I was bound to make a mistake. I'm human. So instead of calling me into the office to tell me that since it was my first time making this mistake, that, you know, I just need to be more careful, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Because once I realized what happened, I was very upset because I'm a perfectionist. I revel in making sure I'm doing a good job. So anyway, I get pulled into her office. I get sat down. I kind of know what's coming, but I don't know what I did. So she flips her laptop around at me and goes, show me what you did. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, show me what you did. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about, what you're talking about, because I don't know what I did. She's like, you sent the record to the wrong place for the wrong student. And I was like, oh. So I pulled up, showed her the procedure that I did and how it could happen, because it could easily happen. She was like, you know, you could get fired for this. And I could tell the owner of the business about it, and you could be fired. And I was like, okay, well, I can go to the owner of the business and let him know what happened, and I can show him what happened, and I can totally own up to it. Well, somehow me being responsible and manning up to it and owning up to it she decides that that is an offense of some kind. She goes, no, that won't be necessary. She goes, you will not make this mistake again. And again, I'm being yelled at like I'm two. And when I get upset, I start to cry. Not because I'm sad or that I'm scared. I am frustrated, and I don't know how to defend myself. Like, some people would be like, you're not going to talk to me like that. I'm not your kid, and then walk out of the room. I am feeling bad because I did make a mistake. I wanted to own up to it, and now I'm getting in trouble. Well, I also did a lot of the phones and a lot of other things, and I would have to stop what I was doing to handle those other tasks, and I would always take on more tasks because I don't like being bored, and I don't like downtime, so I would take on more tasks. Well, I was telling her that I wanted to move the desk because then maybe I could concentrate more on the tasks that I needed instead of being interrupted by the phones and different things like that. Well, I was informed we weren't playing quote-unquote musical chairs like we were in kindergarten. And then she said, are you sure that you're not taking on all these tasks? Because for, and I quote, for lack of a better word, you're trying to be star employee. I was defeated at that point. I was like, I'm seriously getting in trouble right now for being a hard worker. I have really well-maintained records, really well-maintained desks. I am very organized, and I can multitask well, even though I do make a mistake. I am human. And to be perfect is what she's asking me to do, even though I have not made a mistake on any of the other tasks that she has given me. And now I am getting in trouble for trying to be star employee. And I actually stood up for myself at one point and was like, no, I'm not trying to be star employee. I'm trying to stay out of this office because I don't like it in here. Well, I applied for a job about a week later, got that job, left the place, and now it's wonderful. But she really did not understand why I was leaving and why I applied for another job. She seriously went to my direct manager that's right below her and asked how come I was leaving. She thought I was staying. And I was like, she really can't see how she treats people. And there is a high turnover rate there, super high turnover rate. So it's interesting for sure to see how many people go in and out of that office still. But she has no idea that the way she talks and treats her employees, you know, I'm highly intelligent. And she, every time you came out of that office, you felt like you were 2 inches tall. But she's definitely shown me what kind of manager in the future I don't want to be. Thank you.
I think some things like that, managers like that are really only going to, not going to thrive, but they only want not intelligent employees.
Yeah.
They're anyone with common sense, with, you know, an ounce of you know, self-worth is going to be like this. They're not going to stay there. Mm-hmm. They're not going to survive there, even though they could do the job to a soaring level, probably far beyond what that manager can do. It probably comes back to the manager being extremely insecure that someone's going to outshine them mm-hmm. and take their job.
Yeah.
So my guess is in this situation, all that manager, you know, really wants is, you know, to have people that they can control and belittle and are controlled in that way. Some people are controlled that way, and that seems to be all the only way that they are controlled. Not that that's a good thing or a right thing, but they put up with it. And then you have the managers that thrive on that.
But there's some sort of enabling going on with that manager's manager.
Oh, sure.
Because if they aren't even having the foggiest idea why employees are leaving, then she's never been talked to and said, you need to change your management style drastically. So that, you know, she may be the most obvious symptom, but I think there's a lot more going on with that company, because for somebody to keep a job like that, knowing that they're doing that.
I think a lot of times it's an incredible disconnect. If the owners are not on site, if the owners are rarely there, then they're pretty hands off and they have somebody that they think they can trust who probably presents themselves. It's like a heckle, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, to the vice versa, if you're talking to the management, the owners or the employees, where they come across to the owners as, oh, this is a great person. They're really going to keep people in line. And the story of reality versus what reality is, I'm sure, is completely different to what the owners are hearing from that manager until they get their feet on the ground and start sitting around the office for a couple of days and seeing what's happening. I've seen that before, where the management or the owners have no clue what the hell is going on, and they think everything's fine. We have this great manager in there. Things are going good on, you know, the surface, and then things start to fall apart, and they get in there and sit around for a couple of days and think, oh, God, why didn't we know that this was going on? And then they finally discover, oh, holy shit.
I don't know. Maybe it's the micromanager in me, but I feel like I couldn't be so hands off of a company to not have any idea that's how my employees are being treated.
No, that's why I can't have like more than you as an employee. It's because I am a micromanager too. And I have a certain way I'm going to do things, and I can never be hands off. I'm always, and that's to a fault of my own, of I'm not someone who can be like, okay, this person's going to manage all the main assets of this, and then I can just, you know, go off on vacation. Like, nope, I'd much rather be a small company and have you and me basically running the show, and then I'll deal with doing emails on vacation. That to me is more enjoyable than the headaches of employees. Now, I'm sure there are great, I've had great employees. And you know what? There's some of my best friends to this day. And there's two of them.
There's two.
There's two of all of those years. And but other than that, it's just one of those things where I couldn't be, I would probably be looked at. There'd probably be some horror stories. I wouldn't be mean or, you know, anything horrible, but it would be, I'd be an annoyance.
Well, I'm going to say this lovingly as your wife. I don't think you could ever truly delegate.
No.
Because you would be constantly going back over to make sure they did their job right. So not only are you doing your work, you would be redoing their work.
I can delegate if it's a task sometimes, that I know the person can do better than me. But I have to know they can do it better than me. Then I'm completely fine with it. But if it's something I know that I can do better, then I'm the one that's going to end up doing it.
Yeah.
I just, I don't, I it's one of those things where I jump into doing that. I think just because it's, I feel sometimes I'll have to do it again anyhow. So might as well get it done right then. And that's, it's probably not a good way of thinking, but I've never grown past that, but I'm able to admit that I'm not going to deny that that is how I am.
That's how I was in school. I hated group projects. I would tell the kids, look, if you just let me do it, I'll get us all an A. And they were fine with that.
Sure.
They didn't learn anything, but
you got the grade, and it all works out in the end. So there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. If you like our show, press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on, and keep us on the air. Share your office horror stories, officehorrorstories.com or 833-HATE-JOB. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.